Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, January 22nd, Pope Francis expresses his closeness to the people of La Palma as they begin rebuilding after volcanic eruption. We hear from Christians of different denominations as we continue celebrating the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, and the United States says military aid promised by US President Joe Biden has been delivered to Ukraine. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. As Spain begins the process of rebuilding following 3 months of volcanic eruption in La Palma in the Canary Islands, Pope Francis has expressed his closeness to local people. Residents were told last Tuesday they could return home after the eruption was officially declared over on Christmas Day. Robin Gomes reports.
I accompanied you at the time of the eruption, and I accompany you in the reconstruction, Pope Francis said in a video message to the inhabitants of Spain's La Palma Island, who have been suffering the consequences of the eruption of Cumbre Vieja volcano since September. Bishop Bernardo Álvarez Alfonso of San Cristóbal de la Laguna o Tenerife, one of Spain's Canary Islands off the coast of northwestern Africa, recorded the Pope's video message Friday morning on his smartphone. He's among the third group of Spanish bishops currently on their ad limina visit to Rome, a regulation visit that heads of dioceses around the world are required to make every 5 years or so to report on the state of their jurisdictions. In the message, the Holy Father addressed a population that is facing a future of uncertainties, as thousands of people had to be evacuated and many lost their homes and even their jobs. It's difficult, but don't give up, the Pope urged them. Rebuilding always means taking a step forward. It means that defeat doesn't have the last word. It means never getting tired of looking at the horizon. The Pope concluded his message to the people of La Palma, assuring them of his closeness and prayer. Earlier, Pope Francis also had similar words of closeness and affection for the people of Tonga in the Pacific Ocean, where a massive underwater volcanic eruption on 15th January triggered tsunamis across the region that were felt as far afield as Australia, Japan, and the Americas. Cumbre Vieja began erupting on 19 September 2021 as a flank eruption at the volcanic ridge comprising the southern half of La Palma. At 85 days, it is the longest known eruption of a volcano on La Palma. The eruption has caused the evacuation of around 7,000 people, destroyed more than 3,000 buildings, and cut the coastal highway. The town of Todoque was completely destroyed by lava. Volcanic activity began decreasing in early December 2021 and stopped on 13 December. The government of the Canary Islands estimates damages of up to 843 million euros. I am Robin Gomes.
As the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity continues, Christians of different denominations are gathering throughout the world to pray for the unity of all Christian believers. Last Thursday, the Centro Pro Unione and the Lay Center held their annual service, both in presence and online. The Centro Pro Unione is a center for ecumenical research and encounters founded shortly after the Second Vatican Council in 1968. It is run under the direction of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement and headed by Father James Puglisi, a professor of ecumenism who has served on several international dialogue commissions. Thaddeus Jones caught up with him as the Week of Prayer for Christianity got underway and asked him about this year's celebrations.
It's a little bit different than the ones in the past, mainly because it comes from the churches in the Middle East, and they picked up a theme which we just celebrated, actually, the Epiphany, with the understanding of we have seen his star and we've come to worship him. And I think this is really interesting because it links in with the theme of God's incarnation in the person of Christ, God's revelation through the person of Christ, and the fact that we are called to unity in the person of Christ.
In terms of the participation here in Rome at the various celebrations, is there anything you'd like to note in particular?
Well, because here in Rome and in Italy and probably in other places, we are having a surge of the virus again. So a lot of services have been reduced to half presence and online. And I think people feel that there is a real need to come together now, because we've been so detached because of this pandemic situation, that we see people wanting to participate, the need to pray, not only pray to Kurma, praying for the unity of that which we missed from being able to be connected with one another. So I think this year's Week of Prayer takes on a stronger emphasis of this need to be together, to unify, to praise the Lord, but also to support one another in this time of crisis.
So would you say that's one of the positive results, if you could say, that's come out of this pandemic, in a sense that there's a focus more on the essentials of our being united as Christians?
Yes, I would certainly say that's true. But also the fact that we need to listen to the Lord in this time of crisis and respond with our prayer.
That was Father James Puglisi, a Franciscan friar of the Atonement, who directs a Rome-based center, Pro Unione, speaking there to Thaddeus Jones. On the eve of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, Pope Francis met with a delegation from the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland. Reverend Mari Valjaka, pastor of Sami at the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland and moderator of the WCC Indigenous Peoples Reference Group, was part of the delegation. She belongs to the Skolt Sami community, an indigenous people with a unique culture and history, a people that has also suffered discrimination and injustice. Reverend Valjaka spoke to Vatican Radio after meeting with the Holy Father.
I think the predicting of creation is a very central thing for the church mission. And because we're humans, we are the images of God. And as image of God, we are called to protect the creation, all the creation. Basically, 80% of the biodiversity in this planet is on those areas that are occupied by indigenous people. And they've been caretakers, stewards of nature for the centuries. So they have a long history of taking care of their land. They also have a lot of wisdom to share. But many often, their voices are not heard. And how I see it is that mission actually can begin from the margins, and it should be at the margins and on the margins, with the indigenous peoples, with peoples with disabilities and those who are discriminated. And I think that as Christians, it's our duty to listen to those voices that are usually not heard and usually silent. So when I'm seeing Pope saying that and asking the world leaders to step up and to protect the rainforest in Amazon and all the indigenous groups there, it really inspires me, because I think that what happens in Amazon, it doesn't stay in Amazon. It happens in my region, in the Arctic region, it doesn't stay there. And what we're facing right now is the climate crisis, and usually indigenous people who are facing it on the front line. The Arctic region is warming way faster than any other region. So when I'm seeing folks advocating for this very important thing, it gives me hope, because I also think that gospel can spread, and it should spread, and also there's good impact. That's a very good example for all of us, that we should, you know, really pray God that indigenous peoples could share that wisdom for the rest of the world. And we also have to pray that those who have power, that they could be touched with these issues also, so that the future could be better than yesterday.
That was Reverend Mari Valjaka, pastor of Sami at the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland. The church in El Salvador is preparing to celebrate the beatification of four martyrs killed during the civil war. The new blessed include Jesuit Father Rutilio Grande, two laymen, and Franciscan Father Cosme Spesotto, who were murdered by death squads for speaking out for the poor. Lisa Zingarini reports.
After celebrating the sainthood of Archbishop Oscar Romero in 2018, the Church in Salvador welcomes today four new blessed who were martyred during the country's civil war for speaking out for the poor. Jesuit Father Rutilio Grande, catechist Manuel Solozarno, young Nelson Rutilio Lemus, and Franciscan missionary Cosme Spesotto will be beatified in San Salvador by Cardinal Gregorio Rosa Chavez this evening. Father Grande and the two laymen were gunned down by a paramilitary death squad on the 12th of March 1977. Their funeral mass was celebrated by Saint Oscar Romero when he was Archbishop of San Salvador. He too was martyred 3 years later while celebrating mass on March 24, 1980. Father Spesotto died in similar circumstances just a few weeks later. The Italian-born missionary had been serving in a local diocese and spoke out against social injustice just as Father Grande and Archbishop Romero did. Both priests tried to build a sense of community for the poor, who often were exploited by the local oligarchy. But their messages were considered political rather than inspired by the social teachings of the Church. Jesuits across the world rejoiced with the Catholic Church in Salvador. In a video message, Jesuits Superior Father Arturo Sosa said that by recognizing their martyrdom, the Catholic Church confirms that their lives were taken because of their faith. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And finally, in world news, the United States says military aid promised by U.S. President Joe Biden has been delivered to Ukraine amid concerns about a possible Russian invasion. As Stefan Boss reports, the aid arrived after talks between the U.S. and Russian foreign ministers on solving the crisis ended without a breakthrough.
The U.S. embassy in Ukraine's capital, Kiev, confirmed that the first shipment of military assistance promised by President Joe Biden arrived overnight in the former Soviet nation. Biden approved the $200 million security support package in December. The embassy stressed that the deliveries include nearly 200,000 pounds of lethal aid, including ammunition, for what the embassy called the frontline defenders of Ukraine. It included photos of the consignment in its message on the social networking site Twitter. The U.S. embassy said the shipment demonstrated what it called Washington's commitment to helping Ukraine bolster its defenses in the face of growing Russian aggression. The lethal aid arrived just hours after U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warned his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov of a tough response if Russia was to invade. Blinken expressed concerns about more than 100,000 Russian troops reported near Ukraine's border. Russia already annexed Ukraine's Crimea Peninsula in 2014 and it supports separatists in eastern Ukraine in a conflict that has killed 14,000 people. Moscow claims it has no intention to invade Ukraine, but Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that Moscow was still waiting for a written response from Washington to its demands for security guarantees. Moscow says the U.S.-led NATO military alliance shouldn't expand into Ukraine and place missiles there. NATO counters that it's up to Ukraine to decide whether to become a NATO member state. Following their tense talks in Geneva, Switzerland, Blinken told Lavrov the U.S. would give Russia a written response to Moscow's proposals next week. He suggested the two would likely meet again shortly after that, offering some hope that an invasion would be delayed for at least a few more days. A high-ranking U.S. security diplomat told Vatican Radio that tens of thousands of U.S. troops are in the region, including Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, Poland, and the Baltics. Several of these nations were occupied for decades by Russian troops. As a result, some have expressed concern about the regional impact of a Russian invasion into Ukraine. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Vatican News English section, Facebook page and Twitter feeds. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.